Robert Frost is famous for writing about the road not taken, about a traveler who comes to a fork in the road and is faced with a decision regarding which path to choose. Both hold uncertainty for the future. Both have advantages and disadvantages. Both can bring happiness or sorrow. With no knowledge as to what awaits him, the traveler goes with his gut, contemplating that he can always come back and choose the other path later. But can he? One road will lead to another, which will lead to another, then another. You are soon miles from where you started, unable to remember how to get back. Worse, you can't recall where you started in the first place. All because of what you believed to be an innocent decision to go down one road instead of another. As I sit at the stoplight, the road ahead taking me one way, the interstate to the left another, Dave Matthews' voice brings me back to my high school years. In all actuality, I'm at an advantage, unlike Mr. Frost's memorable traveler. I've been down one of these roads before, over and over and over. I've given that road chance after chance after chance. What has it given me in return? Heartache, pain, agony, but also love, as cruel and beautiful as it's always been between us. Can I put myself through that again? Is security and safety more valuable than passion? The answer becomes abundantly clear. The light turns green, and I take a deep breath to slow my racing heart. My foot eases off the brake, stepping on the gas as I take the road I believe will lead to happiness, to peace, to love. The entire drive, I'm certain this is the correct path for me. I need those things. Why should I settle for anything less? When I finally pull up in front of the house and step out of my car, making my way up the familiar walkway, everything seems different. This isn't like every other time I've been here. Something's changed. I've changed. Have I changed for the better? For his better? Or does everything seem different because I've chosen wrong? Should I have taken the other path? There's only one way to find out. I stare at the door, torn, wishing the correct answer were scrawled in the grains of the wood. When it opens, I inhale a sharp breath, staring into a pair of compassionate, soothing eyes, ones that have always looked at me with nothing short of devotion, of pure admiration, of absolute love.
Brooklyn.
His voice is husky, but concerned, perhaps even relieved. My lips part as I struggle to summon a single word. There's a reason I've chosen this path, so I don't have to look back anymore, so I don't have to face a daily reminder of my mistakes, of not being enough, of never being enough. This man staring at me with so much concern loves me, unequivocally, unmistakably, unquestionably. His love is pure, untainted, with no hidden agenda. And he wants to spend the rest of his life with me. That should count for something. No, that should count for everything. The events of the past few days overwhelming me, my hands go to Wes's cheeks. Pulling him toward me, I crush my lips to his, kissing him fully, completely, holding nothing back, giving him everything I've denied him since the beginning of our relationship. He stills at first, his body becoming rigid. I bring myself closer, erasing the last bit of distance between us. My hands tugging at his hair, fingernails digging into his scalp. My body pleads with him to want me, love me. Help me forget about Drew. With a groan, he relents, melting into me, dragging me into his house and kicking the door closed. This exchange is completely different from our usual kisses. It's not tender, soft, sweet. That's not how I want it. Not right now. I need it deep, powerful, soul-crushing. I need to never have another reason to think of anyone but Weston James Bradford. I'm his world. It's time he becomes mine.